Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello there. It's episode 42 of Patty Pigskin. I'm Gary Somerville in association with our sponsors DraftKings, and the machine is absolutely cranking the episodes out. We got another one. This is going to be mainly fantasy football related. So if you're a big fantasy football guy like myself, like Barry, like Jer, we got a great show for you this time. I have Alex Kroll is on. He is the founder of Daily Play Action. It is a daily fantasy advice website. It's here in Boston. And we are going to be chatting about the main fantasy plays for DraftKings coming up on the weekend games for week one of the 2018 NFL football season. So lots of fantastic in-depth fantasy football talk. Alex is fantastic, has some absolute gems coming up. Really looking forward to it. So episode 42, Patty Pigskin, let's go.
Say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hate and say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it.
Thought I'd mix it up this week with the old player dedication music, and that song obviously has the word dedication in it by Posty. Episode 42, it's for Ronnie Law, who played safety and cornerback. Born in 1959 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Played his high school ball in Eisenhower Rialto, which is also, funnily enough, a place here in Dublin. This one was in California, though, where he played wide receiver, QB, and safety. He committed to USC and played safety there from 77 to 1980 and won a national championship in 1978. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2002 for his efforts as a Trojan. Drafted 8th overall in the 1981 draft by the 49ers and immediately became the starting left cornerback there in San Francisco. In his 10 years with the Niners, he won 8 divisional titles and 4 Super Bowls in 81, 84, 88, and 89. He went to a pretty impressive 10 Pro Bowls with an also equally impressive 8 first-team All-Pro nods. He also had stops with the LA Raiders, the Jets, and the Chiefs. He's in the NFL 1980s and 1990s All-Decade team, and his number 42 jersey is retired in the 49ers organization. Stats-wise, finished at 1,146 tackles, 63 ints, 16 forced fumbles, 5 touchdowns, and he is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So episode 42, San Francisco 49er legend Ronnie Lott. This episode is for you. So have Alex here with me. Let's get cracking with this week's episode of Patty Pigskin.
You wanna mess with this? One of the best yet.
We've got it.
You can feel the realness. In this business of rap.
Fresh out the gate again, time to raise the stakes again. Fat my plate again. Y'all cats know we always play to win. GNG to the stars, son. Haters took the shit too far, son. So that's all for you, I'm wiping out your whole team. Ow, splatter your dreams with lyrics to shatter your schemes. The badder you seem, the more lies you tell. The more lies you sell, now by surprise you fell. Into my death trap, right into my clutches. Stupid, you know the guard must bless every single mic he touches. I've suffered just so I could return harder. Wanna be the shit starter.
So we are talking some fantasy this week as we gear up for the first weekend of competitive NFL games since February. And with me I have Alex Kroll of Daily Play Action, which is a daily fantasy advice website here in Boston. Alex is also a diehard Giants fan like myself, so he's one of the few fan bases that can talk shit to Pats fans in Boston. Alex, thanks very much for taking time out to come on to chat with us here at Patty Pigskin. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Gary. Thanks for having me on, man. It's been a long time coming. I know you and I have talked about doing this pod for some time now, and it's great to finally see the day to get together. I know that, you know, we're working on some other projects together, so it's great to be here, man. And, you know, excited for the NFL season, excited to talk some daily fantasy.
Can't wait. We have an event coming up, which for a lot of Irish people, unless they want to fly to Boston, you know, there's cheap flights into Providence these days. I think I got flights home for like $380. They're more than welcome to fly over, but it's mainly tailored towards people that are based on the East Coast And that event is going down October 7th.
And we don't have promo codes for flights, guys, but if you can make it, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do, but normally the promo codes only extend to daily fantasy stuff. So tell us a little bit about the event, Alex, before we get into this episode.
Yeah, so Gary, pretty much what you said, you know, we're having a DFS tournament. We're trying to encourage DFS for the blue-collar player. More often than not, we find that these live tournaments that are going on, you need to take multiple qualifiers and satellites to get to. And we're trying to expand and build on the community, really, for the blue-collar player, enabling those that don't qualify, that don't, you know, win satellites to get up to the final to have an opportunity to play together. We're going to have cash prizes. We're going to have a championship trophy. We're going to have a leaderboard. And yeah, it should be a great time. We're really excited to have you on board for the event. We're really excited to be using the DraftKings platform. And we're really, really psyched to just, you know, have a good time and play some DFS and what I hope will be the first of many events to come in Boston and many more for both Patty, for the DPA and for DraftKings moving forward.
Yeah, I can't wait. And you do know that the Conor McGregor fight is the night before, so you are expecting me to be a little bit hungover the following day, especially if he wins. I'm going to be fucking out on the tear. So tell the people a little bit about the website as well. You've mentioned the event, but tell us what is Daily Play Action? Oh, you obviously know what it is, but you know, people that listen to us may not have heard of it before. So tell us about the website real quick.
So Daily Play Action, Gary, is a project that I started about a year ago when I decided that I really wanted to make a career out of daily fantasy, just providing free advice currently for the people. We're, you know, giving game stacks, we're talking game flows, we're talking six different sports right now, everything from NASCAR to football to baseball. We got hockey, we got golf. You know, we're covering all the bases right now. And we've got a big football season ahead. We're going to be giving out free advice to anybody that wants it. We've got cheat sheets. We've got podcasts. We've got live builds. We got it all.
And, everything.
Yeah, really excited to dive in once more this year. It's been a long time since I myself have been able to cover football. So it's been a long winter and a long, you know, pretty much every season leading up to now.
We are ready and we're very excited to get going. And, you know, daily fantasy, it's a lot about the number crunching and, you know, looking at the data as well as just knowing football. Like, we know that the biggest kind of sharks in daily fantasy are their number guys. A lot of them are like MIT, Harvard guys. They may not know a crazy amount of football, but they have a good knack with numbers and data and all that sort of stuff. You guys dive in a little bit into the data, right? It's not just, you do know those kind of personal angles to players and their performance from a football standpoint, but you also look at the data. And you crunch those numbers and that's how you come up with your advice, right?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of correlation plays. There's a lot of mathematics that also go into daily fantasy. So we do like to touch on that stuff as well. But yeah, you know, a lot of the guys that are the best at DFS are former poker players or former, you know, just, you know, went to MIT and Harvard, like you said. So there's a lot of numbers that are involved with, you know, crunching DFS no matter which way you cut it and optimizing your lineups. It's definitely a big component of what we do.
If you asked them to run a comeback route, they wouldn't have a fucking clue what you're talking
about. Yeah, so it's nice to have a combo.
Exactly, yeah. So daily fantasy, slightly different. It only took off, I think it was week 3 or 4 in Ireland. It's been established here for quite a few years, but it only launched in Ireland there last year. So it's still a little bit new, but it's starting to gather a bit of steam now. We finished our league with like 52 people, obviously hoping to expand that now for 2018. So with DraftKings, you get the 50k salary to spend on your roster, and you have the roster breakdown is QB, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 1 flex, and 1 defense special teams. So when myself and Alex are going to be chatting about the games coming up for week 1, you're probably going to hear a little bit of jargon in the daily fantasy world, stuff like chalk. So Alex, you want to give some definitions? So if I said that guy is a chalky player, what would you say?
So a chalky player is a guy that's going to yield a lot of exposure across ownership percentages, you know, literally across the whole industry. So a guy like Todd Gurley in a matchup with a weaker defense is going to be a chalky player. So that's where we can revert to that term. Another term that you'd probably hear in this podcast and you'll hear going forward is a fade.
Yep.
A fade is a guy that basically you know is going to draw a lot of ownership, so you try and, you know, divert away from that and pick another player. Basically, the whole thinking behind this is if you're playing guys with high ownership, that if, you know, if your players are scoring a lot of points, so will all of your opponents. And that's going to be very hard to, you know, differentiate yourself from all the other tournament entries out there, especially when you're playing guaranteed prize pool tournaments, which we call GPPs. The other format that we're not going to spend a whole lot of time touching on in this show, but we'll touch on it a little bit, is the cash game plays, where 50% of the people are winning. And yeah, so those are a couple of the terms. Any other ones you wanted to go over, Gary?
Yeah, like we have a pivot is, you know, you have a player in mind and you're basically just moving on to someone else that's, you know, in a similar kind of mold as that player you were looking at.
Exactly.
Is pretty much it. And then like stacking, a lot of people stack quarterbacks with their receivers or tight ends. Floor ceiling is another one. You know, someone with a high floor is someone you expect to have a decent minimum scoring, and then the high ceiling is pretty much, you know, you're expecting them to really blow the roof off their offensive production. And then, like you said, exposure is, how'd you define exposure?
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure a lot of this stuff out. Pretty literal terms, but exposure, just in a nutshell, is just, you know, making sure that the guys that you have are not owned by everybody else.
Exactly.
On the field to differentiate yourself. So differentiation is key, and that's something that we'll be talking about throughout the show.
Absolutely. Before we move on to the games, we haven't done it now in a few episodes. I'm glad we have it back on now. You kindly brought some beers along, so we're going to do our beer review. If you want to crack that bad boy open there, so you can tell the listeners, go for it. You're not lifting hard enough, because that can is struggling to be opened.
Oh, no, no, I'm just waiting for the right time.
No, work away, man. There you go.
There we go.
So tell the listeners what we are drinking as we go through our game one.
Sure.
Week one game slates.
So right now, what I'm pouring into my glass is a Trillium George's Island India Pale Ale. This is a beer in a brewery that's very special to me in particular. I have it literally right next to my office. I spent a lot of time on my way
in
home.
In there and not in the office.
And lying on benches and random parks, amongst other things.
Going through your lineups, just drinking instead of working.
I've got my cell phone but no clothes. Just entering DFS lineups. And,
got the important stuff.
It's a 7.1% India Pale Ale, brewed right here in Massachusetts. And, you know, you ask anybody that's from Massachusetts and part of, you know, northeast part of the United States, they're going to tell you the Trillium is a brewery that is, you know, it's a must visit. You've got to check it out. Great beer. It's got kind of a hazy blonde.
It has, yeah.
Blonde color to it. It's not, you can't really see through it.
It's not crazy hoppy either.
Zwickel, actually, but.
Oh, yeah, I'm drinking another one, haven't I? Okay.
But it's got a great taste to it. It's just, you can just tell that it's great made beer. Why don't you try this one out, Gary?
Yeah, hang on a second.
We wish you could try this with us. It's amazing stuff. But if you come to Massachusetts, Gary, I'll show you around.
We will, yeah. We'll do, maybe we can do a Paddy Pigskin brewery tour or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
We've done like one or two shows in breweries, but we have another one or two in mind up in Vermont and stuff.
Oh, Vermont.
That we want to go. Right. That's like the brewing capital. Right. Let's get away from beer, even though we're still going to be drinking as we're chatting football.
Sure.
Sunday games. We got to chat about the obvious one starting off. Air Giants at home to the Jags, and motor mouth Jalen Ramsey going up against the highest paid wide receiver in the game, Odell Beckham. So we're going to be chatting about some of the major plays, I guess, that jump out at you in all these games going forward. So Jags, Giants. Who stands out there as a go-to if you're going to draft some players out of that contest?
Sure. Well, this is a game that is one of the lower implied totals on the slate. And by implied total, we leverage Vegas a lot in our picks. So this game is a projected 44 points. We're going to find some other games on the slate that are up closer to 52, 53.
Yeah.
Those being the highest ones. But this is lower scoring. So I'm going to fade the passing game here. I'm not going to be playing any either of the quarterbacks. And if I do, I might play a little bit of Eli Manning just because 4,700 on DraftKings, just absolutely criminal. You know, he's just been getting disrespected left and right between Jalen Ramsey, between Madden, giving him a 76 rating, which is just completely...
So you think he might come out a little bit mad? And he's like,
as
you know what,
I want to fucking...
Which isn't mad on the 1 to 10 scale, but... You know, you get him fired up, might get that offense rolling.
And this is, you know, one of those type of situations where I wouldn't play him in cash games, because in cash games you want to play the safest players. But I know that not many people are going to be playing him. And that at that price point, it's not going to take him a lot for him to hit value. In GPPs, we want him to hit 2.5 times value for cash games and about 4 times for GPPs. So he gets you 17, 18 points, boom, just like that.
Yep.
You're in good shape. Outside of that, I'll be targeting the running game a little bit as well. I like Leonard Fournette, strong play. The Jags want to run the shit out of the ball, period. I mean, they don't want to leverage their games based on the ability of Blake Bortles. Maybe in the playoffs, not in the regular season for me. I like Fournette here. Saquon Barkley's got a lot of ability to catch the ball out of the backfield as well as run the ball. I think the Jags got a lot better last year after they added Marcell Dareus. Previously, prior to that, believe it or not, the rush defense was not that good. A lot of their credit for their defense went to their secondary and guys like Jalen Ramsey. So I will play the running backs. If I had to pick one, I'd take Fournette. I think that he is a stronger play this week. But, you know, running him up, I'm sure you'd agree with me here, Gary, that, you know, running up against Snacks and Ovi does not sound particularly great.
No, like Dalton Snacks Thompson, is, yeah. He gets disrespected. Like, he doesn't get any of the, you know, the recognition he deserves.
Yeah.
He's like one of the best run stoppers in the game, uh-huh. And he's constantly overlooked. I don't think he was included in the top 100 again there. Like, he's just dismissed
exactly.
Almost time and time again.
He's always
but he does the job every year.
Yeah.
Every year he does it.
And then outside of that, just quickly, Odell Beckham. I mean, $7,000 is the only time you're ever going to see him this cheap. Definitely worth a couple GVP flyers if you're asking me. Definitely not an ideal matchup with Ramsey, but he probably goes into it after that new contract wanting to prove something.
Yeah.
I do like that play. And at 7K, like I said, you won't see that again this year. I promise you that.
Okay.
Moving forward, D.D. Westbrook and Keelan Cole, both viable. No more Marquise Lee this year. That's going to elevate the status of both those guys. They both have value at 3.9 and 3.8K. Very, very cheap. I like both those guys. And at tight end, no Evan Engram for me, but ASJ is a guy that I do really, really like this week. He's 3,200.
Jesus, that's very, very cheap.
It's cheap, and you target tight ends against the Giants. It's,
yeah,
it's a rule of thumb.
Very
so,
true.
We'll see.
I think they were one of the worst last year,
mm-hmm.
if not the worst against tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. Are you gonna pick a winner in that game? I got the Jags winning. I know
yeah.
That's hard to say as a Giants fan in week one, but we got the Jags winning.
Yeah, and you know I've been to so many disappointing Giants games in my life that this is just another one to add to the. You know, the list of terrible games. So,
right.
You know, both defense is going to be going at it here. I think that the Giants' defense is in play a little bit, especially in GBPs, Jags, obviously. But I think this is a 23-17 game, Jags.
Okay. Bills at the Ravens. Two teams that drafted a quarterback in the first round of this year's draft. No huge standouts for me from a fantasy standpoint. You may disagree. Who would you be looking at targeting there, if anybody?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I spent a little bit of time evaluating these teams during the preseason, partially because the Ravens got a little bit more play with the Hall of Fame game. Let's start with the quarterback position. Josh Allen, you know, rookie quarterback. I think that he's got all the physical attributes you look for in a QB moving forward. Could be the face of that franchise. Not for me today, or on this slate, rather. Joe Flacco at 4.6K, cheaper than Eli Manning. Both these guys are incredibly cheap. Flacco's a little bit intriguing. He's added some new weapons this year. He's facing a very beatable defense at ranked 28th in defense versus DVOA, to put it simpler, last season. And he's coming off of what John Harbaugh referred to as the best training camp that he's ever had in his life.
Well, he's hardly going to say it was shit.
What's that?
He's hardly going to say that he was looking crap in training camp, you know?
Yeah, but
you got to gas them up a little bit, especially quarterbacks.
But you get the idea sometimes if they're not playing up to par.
Yeah.
And he's just so cheap. So there's one thing that I do want to mention about this game. There's not a lot that I like, but he's really been making an effort to throw the deep ball again this year. And he's trying to throw it to new acquisition and finally healthy $3,700 for John Brown. So I like that connection.
Nice.
He's Flacco to Brown. It's something that nobody's going to have. First play of one of their preseason games this year, I forget who they're playing. First play of the game, they try to make a statement and they try to throw a 50-yard pass to John Brown. So they're going to be taking some shots, and he's been, you know, heavily linked to Brown in the preseason. He's thrown touchdowns to Brown on shorter routes as well, which I think is really interesting. He's not just a deep threat anymore, and he's trying to prove that. So I like that stack. Alex Collins at 5,600 feels like a great fit in both cash games and GPPs. I'll be targeting myself, and he's playing against a defense that surrendered the most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs in 2017. And the Bills haven't made any improvements, and I'm sure of that. Outside of that, Baltimore's defense against these crappy quarterbacks for Buffalo, really
yep.
like Baltimore's defense. And Hayden Hurst, the tight end for 2,800. Great punt play. Rookie, first round
yeah.
pick.
Yeah, I like him. Who you got winning the game?
So for this game, I'm going to go with the Ravens here. They're only favored by 3. I like them by a touchdown. I think they're going to win this one. Let's call it 27-17.
I got the Ravens winning. Moving on to Barry's Bucks at NFC South foes, the Saints in the Superdome. Some good weapons on the Saints offense here. I would imagine that you're going to be targeting. What's the over-under here?
So the over-under on this game is 52, and this is the highest.
Okay, one
of
the higher ones, yeah.
It's the highest on the slate, actually. It's more than the Texans and the Patriots, which is saying something.
And I would imagine most of that scoring, or the bulk of it's coming from the Saints, right? At home,
yeah,
all those weapons.
But there is some value to the Bucks that I'll get to as well. But I do want to start off by saying that if you take one thing from this podcast, it's that you need to play Alvin Kamara week one. $8,500, doesn't really matter what the price tag is here. I mean, no Mark Ingram. Ingram suspended. Highest total on the slate. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to run the ball. They've released Jonathan Williams. Or he's injured. No. I'm thinking of somebody else. They released Terrence West. Jonathan Williams, I believe, is still with them, but I think he might be a little bit banged up. Kamara's going to get plenty of opportunity to do damage in this game, and they're going to enable him to do that. The Bucs running defense is not particularly great either, but you know, Kamara, I'm going to be playing him in every format. He offers opportunity, skill, he's got the matchup.
Mm.
And one thing that we like to do here at the DP is we like to target home favorites, especially when they've got spreads of over 7 points in their favor. It just spells a great play.
Yeah.
Other than that, Michael Thomas, love him in season long too, but I think that this guy's due for regression this year, positive regression. I think he had 5 touchdowns last year, something like that.
Yeah, started off very slow.
Yeah, and I think he's due to get back up to probably around 10 this year. He's got Breeze back, especially in these first few games without Ingram there too. Thomas is going to be utilized more. On the Tampa Bay side, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 5K rather. He is very cheap, and in a game with this high of a total, I wouldn't be surprised if he throws a couple touchdowns. The question that we need to ask ourselves, Gary, is does he throw a couple picks too? I think he will. I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah. Okay, who you got winning the game?
So in this one, I have got the home favorite Saints winning. They're going to win by a lot. I think this one's going to be 31-21.
Okay. So that's bang on the over-under then, right? If it's 52.
Yep. Yep.
Like, how convenient.
Yeah.
Texans returning superstar quarterback Deshaun Watson playing TB12 in the Pats down the road from us here at Gillette Stadium. Fucking cracker of a game to open up there for both teams. I'm sure there's probably a couple of guys here that stand out for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you're gonna lock down some players in this game, who would you be looking at?
So look, I mean, Brady and Watson are the obvious plays. Both these guys are, you know, pretty high priced, between 6.7K and 7.2. But you got the second highest total on the slate, and we listen to Vegas when we make our DFS.
Sure.
That's what really.
They know what they're doing. Those guys.
Absolutely, they're very accurate, and you know, whether it's the winning or the losing team, both of these quarterbacks are going to be in action. They're both going to be throwing the ball. Let's just move ahead to the running backs. I mean, Rex Burkhead is going to be extremely chalky. He's going to draw a lot of ownership. He's super cheap at only $4,200, but he's going to get goal line carries in a potent offense.
Especially now with Gillisley gone, he was the goal line fantasy, you know, stealer last year, because he was just
too.
Yeah. Well, do we know if Sony Michel's going to play though?
He hasn't done anything right now, in preseason. He's definitely not in a position to steal carries. So, I mean, it's going to be him. And I also kind of like James White in this game because Burkhead's drawing so much ownership. If by any chance the Patriots do get behind, which could happen against an explosive Texans offense.
Sure.
I mean, James White could have another Super Bowl-esque game.
Yeah.
He's definitely shown he's capable of that. No Lamar Miller for me. I mean, if you want him in GPPs, I don't mind it. I just think there's better plays. But a running back in a high total game, why not? One of my favorite wide receivers on the slate, the Patriots' number one wide receiver this year is not Julian Edelman, it is Chris Hogan.
Mr. 7-11.
Yep, I think Hogan's going to have a big year. I think he could easily have 10 touchdowns this year. He's posted 2 good games versus Houston in the past, going 4 receptions for 95 yards in the playoffs, and also went for 4 for 68 and 2 touchdowns in week 4 last year. So this is solid value at 6,100. I mean, and he's got good previous history against his team. It's at home. The Patriots are favored. High scoring game. Love Chris Hogan.
No-brainer for you, is it?
And it's a no-brainer for me. And another interesting thing that I'm going to draw some criticism from is I'm going to be fading DeAndre Hopkins this week. DeAndre Hopkins has yet to top 7 receptions or 77 yards receiving in any of his 5 contests versus the New England Patriots.
How many of those has he gone up against Stephon Gilmore?
I don't know. But
one?
He's definitely,
probably last year, right?
He's had Malcolm Butler as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's had zero touchdowns in five games versus the Patriots as well. So
interesting.
A lot of people are going to be taking DeAndre just because of the matchup.
Yeah.
I could easily get burnt by this, but if I do happen to fade him and I'm playing as many lineups as I think I'm going to play, that could be a great opportunity to make money.
Yep.
And Gronk, 6.9K, which is funny.
That has to be a fucking... That has to be a joke of sorts. Like, that had to be 6 and 9 together, you know?
Yeah.
Given he had 69 receptions last year, I think that's an inside joke there.
Yeah,
like someone at DraftKings.
His girlfriend is very attractive, Camille Kostek. I don't know if you know her. Very attractive.
Has she's been on a few of the Barstool...
She's a real guy's girl.
Yeah,
she's,
yeah.
She's
I think
really,
she's
really
been
cool.
on a, I think she's been on a few like segments for Barstool Sports or something.
Well, she was just some random girl, and then she became a Victoria's Secret supermodel.
Of course, he's banging a Victoria's Secret supermodel.
Why wouldn't he?
Like Edelman has, Brady has.
Yeah, they've all. Done.
Although, in fairness to Chris Hogan, his wife is a practicing medic, so Chris Hogan books the trend there.
Oh, absolutely.
He doesn't go for the underwear models. He goes
smart, sexy.
Goes for ladies that are actually contributing something useful to society.
That's,
so
that's very nice.
Shout out to 7-Eleven on that one.
Absolutely. So Gronk's okay. You know, I think that you can treat him as a wide receiver one, and especially if you tag him with a guy that's cheaper, like Austin Seferian Jenkins or Vance McDonald at 3.2, throw one guy in your flex, one guy in your tight end position, and just like that, you have yourself a nice play. So I like that. No defense really that I'm into on this game.
Okay. Who have you got winning the game?
I think you know I'm going to take the Texans here.
Oh!
Because the Patriots.
It's the first disagreement we've had now.
The Patriots blew it last year in week one to the Chiefs at home, and I think the Texans are a better team. They've got a better defense, and I just don't think the Patriots' defense is that good. I mean, I feel like they've gotten worse.
But you got to assume this is Deshaun Watson at his full 100% capacity.
Well, I haven't seen any indications that have
to suggest otherwise.
Yes, exactly. So I'm about the Texans in this game. I think it'll be a close one. I don't know. I guess we'll call it one. 30. What do you think? Oh, you take this one.
Oh, I got the Pats winning. But the score, I don't know because I never...
It's going to be high scoring for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be high scoring. But I have the Pats winning just because, you know, I don't know. I can't say just because of the home opener because, like you said, they fucking lost last year. But I just have a feeling in my gut that it might take Deshaun a game or two to really get back into full flow.
Yeah.
You know, in competitive games coming off the ACL.
I hear you.
Jimmy G-string. Takes the show on the road.
G-string and Kiara Mia.
To Minnesota to face the new highly paid quarterback Kirk Cousins and their really good defense there.
Mm-hmm.
Minus Pat Shurmur, who is now the Giants head coach. And we just found out earlier on that their starting running back, Jerick McKinnon, has gone down with a torn ACL in practice. Fucking horrendous news
it's
coming out of San Francisco. That obviously affects, you know, some of the research you've done.
Yep.
Besides that, Who would you be looking to target in that game?
Well, I haven't looked at Matt Breida's salary yet, but I'm sure it's very, very cheap. It's something that I'm interested in, especially because he's going to get starters carries now. But at Minnesota, I mean, that's just not an appealing situation. Whenever Minnesota plays at home, I stay away from any opposing offense, really. So no Jimmy G, no receivers. I did kind of like McKinnon, but I like him more. I was going to like him more going forward until I found out he tore his ACL today.
Yeah.
So home favorite guys, you know, Minnesota Vikings. This total is 47 points, so not as high as the Patriots game or the Saints game. But Kirk Cousins at home. I think that this is going to result in Dalvin Cook game. Honestly, despite that, Cousins is cash viable. I think he'll throw a couple touchdowns, and I could stack him with Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs. Both of these guys excel at catching passes that Cousins really specialized in when he was back in Washington, throwing the deep ball and throwing the ball up the middle of the field. So that fits in really well, obviously, with Adam and with Stephon. So
I fucking hope so, because I drafted him in one of my leagues. I fucking hope
he's... This is good news
for you. Yeah, yeah. This is music to my ears here. I like it.
And assuming everything's okay with Dalvin Cook's ACL, which I've heard that it is, he's one of my favorite plays at running back on the slate. I'm going to have a lot of Dalvin Cook. He's a steal. He's playing at home. He's playing against a favorable rush defense that really struggled to contain the run last year. I think he's going to get fed early and often, and he's a near lock to score a touchdown on the slate. I think that he'd get one through the year, too. So he's got a tremendous upside here in a home game where they're favored. Aside from that, like I said, Diggs and Thielen, I'm high on both those guys. For the 49ers, no one I really like. But, you know, anyone in the Vikings offense is going to be a great target.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph at 4.5K is a little bit pricey for me, but he's feasible if you really like him, if you got room for him. it's a lot of value on this slate, so you're going to be able to fit guys in. But that's all I got for this game. And
it sounds like you're high on the Vikings winning.
I'm
just
high
from
on the Vikings. Absolutely.
If that wasn't obvious by now, it sounds like you're high on the Vikings winning.
I'm high on the Vikings here. And, you know, yeah, their defense, I think, could really show out and make Jimmy G run back to Kiara Mia.
Which is not a bad place to run back to, in fairness. Like, I think it works fucking places
I
to run
so.
Back to.
I think so.
The Titans, under new head coach Mike Vrabel, they start off on the road down in the MIA to take on the Dolphins. Anybody, they got a new running back tandem there. They got Deion Lewis from the Pats to pair up with
Derrick Henry.
So they got kind of like a new age smash and dash going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Mariota has a new offensive coordinator. I think that this could be a bit of a breakout year for that offense. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, on both sides of the ball, you could make arguments, really. But I do prefer the Titans in this game. And I think that they're coming in as the favorite anyways. But this game's coming in at 46.5 points. Marcus Mariota is a really good price tag at 6.3K for a guy that can get it done both through the ground and through the air. He's a really versatile quarterback, and I think he's due for a bounce back year after kind of a disappointing 2017 campaign.
Do we have much data on the Miami Dolphins against like mobile quarterbacks?
I have a little data to share. So
okay.
The Dolphins ranked 29th against pass, or they had the 29th ranked pass defense last year. And the last time that Marcus was in Miami in 2016, he threw for 3 touchdowns and added another one on the ground. So recent history shows that this is a very juicy spot for Marcus Mariota.
Extremely.
The Dolphins' pass defense, they're not good. They're pretty much a sieve. So I am about Marcus here. I think that he's a good play. Kenyon Drake, 5.9K. He's going to be splitting some time with Frank Gore. I'm okay on Drake. I'm not crazy about him. I think that there's other plays I like better. Derrick Henry... Sure, I mean, both these guys kind of fall into the same category for me, where I'm not, like, crazy about either of them. I think there's guys that are cheaper and more expensive that I'll be targeting more.
Yeah.
One guy that I do want to mention, and this is a complete sleeper alert. So
Corey Davis?
Oh. So sound the proverbial siren.
Klaxon here.
Yes.
I wish I had a klaxon.
Taywan Taylor at 3.6K. Third round pick in 2017 out of Western Kentucky. I think he's poised for a breakout campaign. And so is Corey Davis, by the way. But Taywan Taylor is after a very strong preseason and training camp. Hauled in 4 catches for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns in the second preseason game against the Bucs. He's going to start now, and he's drawing marginal cornerback play in the Dolphins, who I said ranked 29th overall. So
extremely,
I like
extremely in-depth take there. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, man. But it's a really cheap play and a guy
that
could break the slate open. Like Corey Davis, too, a lot here. And Delanie Walker and Mike Gesicki, the tight end spot. So that's where
I've mentioned in our AFC preview, I'm liking a bit of Mike Gesicki. I have to say, he could be a serious player for Miami.
Notice why I didn't have a description for him.
He was a combine workout warrior as well, so he could be a nice little pickup there.
And one thing I wanted to add about Gesicki too is you notice during the games when Tannehill targets Mike Gesicki on a 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, that they develop some really good rapport.
Yeah, and he's the go-to.
Yeah.
When you want the guy that's going to move the chains, he seems to be the guy that he's going to, which is great.
At that price too, less than 3K, I mean, he's one of those situations where you can stack him with a guy like Gronk in the
sure.
flex position
tight end,
and that'd be a great play possibly.
Absolutely, yeah. The Bengals, under average QB, Andy Dalton, facing the Colts as Andrew Luck is set to play his first competitive game since 2016.
Mm.
This might be a tricky one. What's the I can't see the over... under on this game being
so
too high.
47.5. So it's all actually right. It's surprising because it's higher than the Vikings game, and it was also higher than the one that we just did the Dolphins as well. So Colts favored by 1.5 here. This game could go either way. Personally, I like the Bengals in this one. But let's talk about the quarterbacks. Both these guys I think are interesting, and I think people will disagree with me on Dalton, but that's okay. Andrew Luck, 6,100. Not encouraged by performance in the preseason. Wasn't a standout, but coming back from a ton of time off. Second game was without T.Y. Hilton in the preseason. Since he's got a pretty good secondary, but at 6.1K and a higher total on the slate, Luck could turn out to be one of the best values on the slate. So that's something to watch out for. Andy Dalton, 5.8K, great value. Went for 2 touchdowns, 250 passing yards, and 19 DK points at just 5,700, same price point in Week 8 of last year against Indianapolis. So that tells me that at that price point, if that happens again, you could smash value.
Interesting.
and Indy ranked dead last in past DVOA in 2018. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for Dalton to pass the ball to guys like Joe Mixon, to guys like AJ Green. This could be a really good GPP stack that not a lot of people are on, and you could really take advantage against the rest of the field that's going to be on games like the New Orleans game,
yeah,
the New England game. You want to look for these other games that also have semi-high totals that have talented guys.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And especially if you can target home favorites too. So a guy like Luck to Hilton will be somewhat popular.
Mm.
You flip the script here and you go Dalton to Green, and that's just a very low-owned stack that could really pay off. AJ Green, a wide receiver, draws a great matchup with either Kenny Moore or Pierre Desir. Do you know who those guys are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know who Pierre Desir is, yeah.
I know who they are, but like, they're not the even worth like remembering. They're not good.
He's bounced around.
Yeah, they've bounced around quite a bit. So AJ Green's gonna be one of my top targets in week one. Definitely worth writing down if you're taking notes.
Okay.
Aside from that, T.Y. Hilton, tougher matchup. I like the Bengals secondary. Some sleepers I want to mention, and maybe you know a thing or two about how some of these Bengals young receivers are coming along in preseason. Guys like John Ross, Tyler Boyd, Josh Malone, they're all sub-4K. And I think that one of these guys is going to catch a touchdown. They're playing the worst pass defense in the league as of last year, so I'll mix some of these guys into my GPPs.
Well, John Ross is lightning fast, so he could take
a bomb. Yeah, he got a bomb the other day.
That's his thing, catching bombs. He could catch like an 8-yard touchdown, and that's it. You know, like that's your value. Touchdown?
Or he could catch an 8-yard slant and run to the house. Because yeah, he is so
and
fast.
That's your value there in one play with that guy. That's the type of player he is.
It's a dart throw, honestly, because you can't really guarantee anything, especially in week one, guys. But definitely play light. It's going to be hard to figure everything out in the beginning. But aside from that, Jack Doyle, he's shown great rapport with Andrew Luck. I kind of like him. Tyler Eifert is a nice tag, bona fide red zone threat, and he's finally healthy. So I'm interested to see if he regains that form. I think he had 8 or 10 touchdowns 1 year with.
He's a baller when he's on the field. He is an absolute baller. Yeah, exactly. I got the Colts winning. What about you? Sounds like you're high in the Bengals.
I'm going Bengals in this one. I think the Bengals are going to win it 20-14.
Okay, the last of the 1 p.m. games sees an AFC North clash as the Steelers face the Browns and what appears to be an absolute loaded roster with first and second round picks.
Oh yeah,
all over the place, but. Huge test early on in the quest for their first win since 2016. I can imagine you have a couple of players on the Steelers that you're going to be targeting
here. I've
got
actually players on both, and I don't know if it's Hard Knocks. I don't know if it's just watching.
We've been burned by that in the past, because last year we were high on the books, and we all know how that turned out.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to be careful sometimes, but I'll hear you out. Go for it.
So let's see. So, I mean, quarterback position, I believe, in the whole... I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but Ben Roethlisberger does not perform well on the road. He's got terrible home road splits. He averaged 25.2 DK points per game at home last year versus 15.9 on the road. I'm okay passing on Ben. Tyrod Taylor, really interesting play, 5.4K. One of the best values of quarterback on the slate, in my opinion. I think that he's both cash game and GPP viable here. He's got rushing upside. He's got a new arsenal of weapons. The total is almost at 48 points, so you know there's points to go around here, and it's been on the road. So I think Tyrod Taylor is going to definitely play his part in getting those DraftKings points. Probably 18 or 19 is my personal projection. Game script is definitely favoring Cleveland's passing game here as Pittsburgh comes in a 7-point favorite, which I think is too much. I'm definitely taking the Browns in this game, at least to cover the spread. Tyrod's played well in the preseason. And I'm just high on him against a pretty marginal secondary in Pittsburgh. Lev Bell looks like he's reporting. I think he already reported, right, Gary?
He said he's going to report to the team on the Monday of week one. So, yeah.
So he's just going to show up after no training camp. So let me tell you something about that.
He's been a slow starter traditionally.
And you know why? It's because he's been holding out. He hasn't
that's
been
true.
Camp.
That's true. Yeah, he's
so
fucking sitting on the couch when everyone
not
else
playing
is
playing in week one. Everyone's gonna throw money at Bell. It's a recency thing. So they're gonna be like, oh, I haven't seen him, and it's just a subconscious thing. Like you look at the DraftKings player pool, you don't see Le'Veon Bell in there, or you just don't play him. And then when he's finally available, everyone just is naturally inclined to pick him.
Yeah.
But there's better players on the slate. I'm not gonna be playing Bell. And as you said, Gary's a slow starter. Hyde, Chubb, Johnson for the Browns. I'm okay there. Not really anything I'm crazy about. There's too many mouths to feed. let's see. Antonio Brown, I think, could be a great play. Browns are going to counter with a rookie cornerback in Denzel Ward, which I think is...
And he went down with a back injury in the preseason, so we don't know.
Demarius Randle, so...
I like being an Ohio State fan. I've watched plenty of Denzel Ward, but Jesus, I just don't know if he's in
to cover the best receiver in the league.
Yeah, like
welcome to the league, rookie.
Yeah,
to the league.
Exactly. Yeah,
and I like AB Antonio might Brown. Yeah.
To quote Jarvis Landry, he might bless him in that first game.
He's gonna bless him
because he's on a different level. Like, what's the salary there for AB?
He's 8.6K. So you're paying 8,600 for Antonio Brown in a.
If they had a love child, that would be the best Antonio fucking Bell. Athlete on the face.
Le'Veon
of the
Brown. So, you know, I'll pay up for Brown, and that's because there's just a lot of value to go around on this slate. So I think he's going to go under-owned. I think a lot of people are going to be on Le'Veon Bell. That's my personal forecast. So my exposure is kind of going to depend on that. We're going to see how things shake out as we get closer to next Sunday. Aside from that, you know, Cleveland ranked 29th versus wide receiver ones in 2017. So that just tells you that they're due for another roasting from at the hands of Mr. Bell. So I like him. Juju Smith-Schuster, 5,900. Definitely breakout candidate this year. I think he's going to get a nice big serving of Terrence Mitchell, who was PFF's 84th ranked cornerback in 2017. Juju's been electric in the preseason. He's already caught one or two long touchdown passes, indicative of some of those big games he had last year. I think he had that, what was it, like a 95-yard touchdown catch against the Titans or something like that.
Yeah, it was
he's
a big
explosive.
One, yeah. Yeah, good player.
He can run, he can catch, he can do it all. And at 5,900, he's a good value, and he's definitely going to be under-owned, I'll tell you that right now.
What about their rookie, James Washington?
Where does he factor in? He's a little bit banged up. He's a little bit banged up right now, I think. So I don't know how much run he's going to get in week one for me personally, but I like his potential.
He's got to be on the cheap side, right?
Yeah, and they have him, and they've got another guy named Damone Patterson, who's a guy that I watched throughout the preseason. And both these guys are very talented, so you know that if Antonio Brown or if Juju Smith-Schuster go down, I think James Washington is going to be the next guy to step up. Mm. He's a big guy. He's got a great catch radius. He can make a lot of contested catches. And a guy that will definitely step in for either of those guys. I'm not sure if he'd play in the slot, but definitely on the perimeter. So definitely someone to watch out for later in the year. Probably not a guy I'm going to target just yet, just to see how things shake out.
Yeah, fair enough.
On the other side of the ball, in season long, I really like Josh Gordon this year. He's not going to start in week one, and that's something that's going to take a lot of ownership off him. But just because he's not starting doesn't mean that he's going to get a ton of snaps.
Yeah.
I think that playing an AFC North matchup like this against the Steelers, how are you going to leave your best offensive player on the sidelines?
And they've got Callaway has been looking iffy.
So this is good.
If Hard Knocks is on the go, boy.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had that like arrest and stuff, so
he's
I don't know.
He's kind of a firework. You don't really know what's going to happen with him as the season goes on. Jarvis Landry, 5,500, looks good. But I think a lot of people are going to go to Jarvis Landry in this slate because they are going to see that Josh Gordon isn't starting.
Yeah.
But I think as a GBP play in tournaments, Josh Gordon's a great play. I think he's going to get opportunities a lot more than people think because he's not starting. So I really like Josh Gordon this week.
Love it.
And just to get through this game, as it's taking forever, is the tight end position. I have to cover both these guys, and the rest of these games, I'll be a little bit more.
I think I've drafted David Njoku in all my leagues as my backup.
Yes, exactly. And Hard Knocks will do that to you.
Well, a little bit about that, but even like before Hard Knocks, I was just looking into it. A lot of analysts had him slated as having a breakout year. Yeah. So tell me how this converts into daily fantasy then.
Well, you know, last year, tight ends just naturally have a history of coming on kind of late, with the exception of Evan Engram last year, and that was more of an opportunity thing, right? Because Bell goes down, all the receivers go down.
Yeah.
But typically, in the second year, tight ends tend to get better. Njoku was a first-round pick out of Miami last year. Caught two touchdowns in the preseason opener in 2018. You know, like I said, former first-round pick. He's going to go under the radar. He's cheap. I don't have the salary pulled up right now, but I can get it. It's somewhere sub 4,000. I can tell you that much. And by week three or four, I expect his price to rise dramatically. He's going to get targets. He's got a better quarterback. He's got better targets around him now with Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon, which is ultimately going to free him up because defenders are going to have to double cover the other guys. Love Njoku and GPPs. The only thing that I do want to advise against is that he's facing a team that was very good against tight ends last year, which is why I'm putting the GPP-only tag on Njoku. But I think overall as a play this year, he's going to be great. And a very interesting play that I don't think many people are going to have is Vance McDonald at 3,200. Absolute punt here, but he's proven to be a productive pass catcher in this league, and he gets the worst team in the league at defending tight end. So basically, as we mentioned with the Giants earlier, play any tight end that's available against the Giants or the Browns.
Brilliant. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll move on to the later games on Sunday. thanks be to Jesus, football makes its long anticipated return to living rooms, sitting rooms, hell, maybe even kitchens and bedrooms, our phones, our tablets, all our devices, pubs, bars, everywhere, all across the world. That means bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs with our sponsors, DraftKings, the leader in 1 week fantasy sports. With DraftKings, you choose when you want to play. You can draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. No more worrying about injuries and waiver wire pickups, all that sort of stuff. At DraftKings, you're the GM. You just choose your players. Stay under the 50 grand salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. A lot of the time, the competition be the likes of me, Barry and the lads. We're up to 60 people now in our podcast league. Very popular, so make sure you get into that. And if you've been thinking about joining, join today, because nothing, and I mean nothing, speaking from personal experience here, makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup on the line. So, to celebrate week one, I can't bloody wait, DraftKings is hosting a free team pick'em promo this week. So, you're basically picking the teams that are going to win. It's really that simple. Download the app or go to DraftKings.com now and use promo code PADDY. That's P-A-D-D-Y. All you have to do is pick at least half of the winning teams correctly. So it's free to enter this pick'em contest. You got to pick half at least of the winning teams correctly. And you will win a share of $1 million. That's $1 million. So promo code PADDY, P-A-D-D-Y. You have a shot at $1 million for free this week for week one of fantasy football with DraftKings. So eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details /pick'em and get on it. Join me and the lads at DraftKings. Right, we got a new beer, so I'm going to crack this open before we move on to the late games. And it's called Tiny Chicken. So as normal, I'm staring at a little cock here at the moment.
Made by Trillium.
Trillium again.
Trillium little cock beer.
Little cock beer. What's it percentage-wise? Not too bad, 5.6%.
American Pale Ale.
American Pale Ale. So we'll review both beers at the end. We'll get on to the first of the later games, 4:25 US time on the East Coast at least. But that's like 9:30 PM in Ireland, where I'm going to be watching the games. AFC West clash, the Chiefs under second year QB Patrick Mahomes, who's taking the reins now in LA to take on Rivers and the Chargers. Who jumps out at you here, Alex, in this game?
Not Patrick Mahomes. He's a young quarterback. I like the Chargers secondary. I think the Chargers are going to have one of the best defenses in the league this year, and they're also favored at home in this game. This game's supposed to have 48 points, so it's one of the highest on the slate. I think that's a close third behind the Texans and Patriots game and the Saints and the Bucks. So I like the Chargers offense a lot here. I think the Chiefs can definitely score points as well, but I like the Chargers to win. Thus, I like Phillip Rivers. I think it's a fantastic play coming in at 6.4K. You know, typically what we do is we try to often target teams that have implied totals of 25-plus points, and that is the case for the Chargers in this week. The Rivers really fits the bill here, and I think he's got a really explosive offense to work with guys like Melvin Gordon. Gordon comes in at 6.8K. Really love him in this situation here. The Chiefs ranked dead last against rush defense in rush DVOA last season. So I think that's just a really, really solid play. I'm going to be all over Melvin Gordon this upcoming Sunday. Kareem Hunt, on the other hand, he started really, really hot last year. However, the Chargers front seven includes guys like Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, Corey Lugett. Kareem Hunt's going to be a fade for me. Not really anything that I really want here for the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill, very much a boomer bust play, so same kind of goes for him. He's going to get Casey Hayward in coverage or Trevor Williams. Both these guys are good cornerbacks. You know, Chargers, it just goes to show you how good their depth is when a guy like Jason Verrett goes down for the second year in a row, and you've still got Casey Hayward and you still got Trevor Williams, who played exceptionally well last year. So I'm not big on any of these Chiefs. If I did choose one Chief, it would be Travis Kelce. Just a threat in the red zone, really big guy, hard to cover. One thing that not sure if I mentioned before, but rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks in particular, they have a tendency to lean on their tight ends in the passing game. They serve as kind of a safety blanket, right? Mm-hmm. So Kelce's affordable. He's 6.4K. You get 500 off from Gronk, and you get a guy that has equal upside to Gronk. But it should be noted that he has never, throughout eight games against the Chargers, scored a touchdown. nor has he either topped 84 receiving yards. Nonetheless, he's a red zone threat, but you know the question you got to ask yourself is, history going to repeat yourself? Repeat itself.
Brilliant. And you got the Chargers winning, yeah. Like you mentioned.
Yeah, I like the Chargers in this game. I think the Chargers are going to come in with a statement win. I think they're going to win this one by a lot. I mean, you could call this really bold, but I think they're going to win this one like 34-17.
I think my boy Joey Bosa is going to ball out.
Yeah, I think he's going to score a touchdown in this game.
And he's going to kick a few field goals as well.
He's going to kick extra points.
The Seahawks travel to Denver, taking on the Broncos in a repeat of Super Bowl 48. When the Seahawks spanked the arse off Peyton Manning, 43-8. Broncos now have Case Keenum under center. I think the Broncos will squeak this one. It's close. Oh. All the projections, all the algorithms that have been run are very close. They say the Broncos have a 51% chance of winning this game. That's really not where I got my decision from. just some random dude in MIT. I was like, here, tell me who's going to win this game. 51%? Yeah, I'll take it. from a fantasy standpoint, who do you like here?
Not much. I mean, if I had to target someone, it would probably be one of the defenses on either of these teams. This game's coming at 42 points, according to Vegas. Not projected to be a lot of points scored. Russell Wilson and Case Keenum. 6.2K and 5.1K respectively, price tag on DraftKings. They're nice GPP plays given the people are going to keep their hands off of Seattle and Denver's defenses. But Wilson is typically a quarterback that naturally plays better at home. So with that said, I'm kind of off him here. Case Keenum at 5.1K is a nice value. You can use him in tournaments. I do like Keenum this year. I do like Emmanuel Sanders. There's other guys at that price point that I kind of like a little better. Guys like Tyrod Taylor I'll probably target a little bit more. But yeah, you can make a case for Keenum in your GPP, so I don't mind him there.
A case for Keenum? Was that a pun there? Or was just...
That was an accidental pun. That was an accidental.
Sounded pretty good.
I'm glad you brought that up. Royce Freeman, rookie running back, 4.5K. He's a third-round pick. He's really impressed me so far.
Yeah, today. Looks like a steal.
Yeah, we've been covering quite a bit of him in the preseason so far, and he's in the driver's seat to win the job in Denver if he hasn't already wrapped it up. For wide receivers, if I had to look at some, I'd talk about Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Not in love, really, with either of them on a game that has a total of just 42 points. On the other side, Doug Baldwin draws Chris Harris, which I don't love. So, yeah, not much to say here. At tight ends, don't love it. At defenses, I like other ones, so I'm not really crazy about that game.
Who have you got winning the game, by the way?
I guess I'm going to... I mean, Denver's favorite in this game. I'm going to take the Seahawks in this one, 24-21.
Okay, so fairly close. Next up, the Cowboys at Cam Newton and the Panthers in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some running backs you're going to target here, right? Even though the offensive line for the Cowboys, as we mentioned in the NFC preview show, pretty beat up, which may affect Ezekiel Elliott's production. But you got McCaffrey. They said he's rumored to be getting 25 to 30 touches per game. In PPR format, obviously, that's quite big. Are you going to be targeting these running backs?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, the guys that are backing up McCaffrey aren't really much of a threat to his workload. I don't have a lot of faith in CJ Anderson to come in and steal touches from CMC. He's a guy that they're really trying to establish in the passing game, as everybody knew last year, but they're trying to get him to run the ball too. So 25 to 30 touches, you're getting him at 6.4K. That just feels like an absolute steal. Feels like the type of upside you could get from a guy like David Johnson or Todd Gurley. But you're getting him for about $3,000 less. So
not bad.
That said, against a team that's just not impressive really on either side of the ball in the Cowboys, I do like Christian McCaffrey. I will have a lot of exposure to him this week, and he's one of my favorite plays at running back on the slate. Elliott, for the reasons that you mentioned, you know, depleted offensive line, guys like Tyron Smith, guys like Zach Martin and Travis Frederick, all dealing with ailments and injuries. Not into Ezekiel this week until he gets his line healthy again, because that's
the source
of all his power, if you will. moving along, we all know that the Dallas receivers are terrible. They've got really no one. A guy that I do like this year to develop, I'm not sure if I'm going to have any of them this week, is Michael Gallup, so keep your eye on him. Not going to have him this week, though. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. This is a home game. Panthers are favored to win here. I don't mind him. Not my favorite play, but he's got rushing upside. He can pass the ball. He can throw the ball to Devin Funchess. Maybe you want to go with a little GPP stack there. I don't know. Not one of my favorite targets, but I could definitely see it working out. Dallas doesn't have a particularly great secondary. At tight end, nothing from the Cowboys side. From the Panthers, I do like Greg Olsen a little bit here. Dallas, you know, they're going to give up points. I just don't think their defense is that great, as I mentioned. So Olsen's always a red zone threat, so I don't mind him here either. And yeah, that's pretty much for me. Not really a whole lot on these 4 o'clock games, other than that Chiefs and Chargers game.
And most importantly, who we got winning?
In this game, I'm going to go with the Panthers. I like the home team here. I think it's going to be a 28-24 game.
Okay, I got the Panthers winning as well. Redskins are in the desert in Arizona to face Sam Bradford and the Cardinals. That's the last 4-25 game. We see fantasy stud David Johnson return after it was a wrist injury, wasn't it? I think he had last year.
It was.
Very early on.
And you know, you'd think that he had a knee injury or something, by the way, that people are you know, kind of not giving him the respect that he deserves throughout this offseason. I mean, this guy is a potential number one overall fantasy pick, and he's picking fourth or fifth.
Mm.
People taking receivers over him. DJ is going to be a stud this year. Like you said, Gary, he just had a wrist injury. He's going to be back at full strength this year. Love him. I think that he's going to be a little bit under the radar with guys like Gurley and Le'Veon drawing more ownership. So if you're comparing him with the other studs, I like him. I like guys like Fournette, Melvin Gordon a lot this week, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. Those are my favorite running backs. And DJ definitely fits the bill for what I'm looking for in the passing game and in the running game. Washington, just not an impressive team. They kind of fall in the same category as the Cowboys. I really think that it's going to end up being my Giants and the Eagles duking it out this year. Probably give the edge to the Eagles. I mean, it's hard not to.
Yeah. I've got the Eagles.
I don't fear the Redskins. I don't fear the Cowboys whatsoever. However, on that Redskins side of the ball, not many offensive plays there. Obviously, Darius Guy's out for the year with a torn ACL, so you're going to see a lot of Rob Kelly. You're going to see some Adrian Peterine.
Is that going to be the case for the year? Like, you look at that
Peterson.
You look at that Redskins offense, though, and you're like, I said it earlier on in the week. It's like there's nobody that blows you away from the offensive standpoint.
If someone did blow you away, who would it be, do you think?
When he's healthy, Jordan Reed.
Exactly.
But he's so fucking banged up all the time. Like, I'd love to see his percentage.
Healthy. He's healthy now.
Who said?
Everyone. The coaches. He's got no tag. He's
Everybody.
Got no tag. He's fine. And he's
for
only,
now, give him one game.
He's only $4,000 on DraftKings, which is exceptional value.
That is very good value.
And you can get him with a guy that specializes in throwing short passes, a game manager like Alex Smith. Sure, this game's on the road, but at 4.K, Jordan Reed is going to be a staple in my lineups, and I'll play him in cash too, I'm sure. Just feels like a great play. Definitely my favorite play in this game and one of my favorite tight ends on the slate. And outside of that, not a lot else I'm looking at in this game.
Who have you got winning the game?
In this game, I think that Washington's going to come in and squeak one out. I think it's going to be a 21-20 game.
Okay, so that's the main Sunday afternoon and later games. I think we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because everybody in Ireland will probably be asleep when the other games are going on.
Yeah.
You have your... he's just pointing out to me there. He has a few notes that he wants to cover at the end. So we've got...
Couple notes.
Go for it. No, the mic is yours, so work away.
A couple things I want to point out. So a couple segments we like to do over at Daily Play Action at the end of our podcast. And Gary, thanks so much again for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Been a pleasure.
A couple things I want to cover. Favorite stack, favorite defense, favorite sleeper play. We're going to do a fade of the day, and we're going to do a play of the day, just to kind of round
Love
things
it.
Out.
Go for it.
So, favorite stack of the day for me, if you couple it together, is going to be Phillip Rivers to Melvin Gordon. You know, for the reasons I mentioned before, they're playing the Chiefs. It's a home game. Gordon catches a ton of balls out of the backfield. He really accumulates. And for just $13,200 overall, when you combine their salaries, love that stack. I think it's going to be a little bit under the radar with so much attention on those two really highly implied games to score a lot of points, the Texans and the Patriots and the Bucks and the Saints. So I do like that San Diego offense. You could even make an argument for Keenan Allen there, but Rivers to Gordon, running back and quarterback stack for me. It's going to be my favorite on the slate, which is a nice segue because my favorite defense on the slate is going to be the Chargers. I just think that their defense has gotten a lot better with guys like Bosa in their second year. And I think that they've got a chance to really take advantage of a young quarterback that hasn't really had much experience yet in this league and really, you know, just exploit that.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, I like the Cleveland Browns defense. The Browns have made huge strides in the offseason. bringing in a lot of notable free agents, getting a great GM. I think that they've really made a lot of steps here, and I think that they're going to be a competitive team this year. I think they held the Eagles to 5 points, and Nick Foles, who was starting, who's going to be the week one starter, which was announced today. So I like the Browns' defense. They're super cheap. I think they're only $2,000 on DraftKings, which is just ridiculous.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's just absurd. They're just being referred to as the Browns of old, but I think this is a team that's gotten a lot better.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I like that play. And my boy Gerson, who I did the podcast with last week on the Playmaker Pod, really likes the Browns' defense too. So got to give my boy a shout if he's listening.
Yeah, no, give your podcast a shout out here while you're here, because like you've given us absolutely fantastic daily fantasy analysis here, so go for it. Give your podcast a shout out while you're here.
Yeah, guys, the Playmaker podcast for NFL season is going to be recorded on Thursdays, released on Friday mornings, every Friday from here on out. We had our first one last week, which is a 2-hour marathon, and I know, Gary, you were giving me a hard time about that. But I couldn't help myself.
I was like, this is fucking as long as the Lord of the Rings movies, for fuck's sake.
It's a never-ending story. Well, that's what happens when you have a bunch of pent-up DFS aggression. You just kind of let it all out after many, many seasons of hibernation.
Fantasy football blue balls is what it was. You just had to get that release in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the Playmaker podcast, myself and my colleague Gerson and Gary, and he goes by Fantasy G. We really crank out the DFS info, and we hope you'll join us over at dailyplayaction.com for some more DFS info when you're not listening to Gary's great content.
And you can follow Daily Play Action. You guys, you've got your
Twitter,
Facebook page is fantastic.
Facebook, yeah.
You're on Twitter.
No,
so you got Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I think we'll leave it at that. For one more, go for it.
There's one more thing. We got a sleeper.
Sleeper. I love this. This is your sleeper from earlier on.
Taywan Taylor.
You are high on Taylor here.
I like him. 3.6K, deep threat. He can catch a ball. Another deep threat I really like is John Brown of the Ravens. Also very cheap. And then we got the fade of the day I mentioned earlier is going to be DeAndre Hopkins. Also going to be fading Kareem Hunt and Le'Veon Bell. Very bold takes. I know.
Extremely bold.
But you've got to make
high risk, high reward.
You've got to make some tough decisions week one. And my play of the day, the chalkiest plays, the guy that's going to draw a lot of ownership is Alvin Kamara. On the plus side, something I'm very happy about is Josh Gordon was announced as not being the starter. He is my play of the day in tournaments as a guy coming off the bench that I think is going to make an impact. Non-chalk play, another great place. I think he's 6.1K. Favorite on the slate is Chris Hogan for the Patriots in a very high-scoring game. And that's it for me.
Brilliant. You actually sounded like a proper newscaster there.
Thanks.
It's like that. Over to the weather. It's going to rain.
It's going to rain.
Hopefully it's going to rain dollar bills for anybody that listens to your advice.
That's the idea. That's what we do this work for.
It rains enough actual fucking precipitation in Ireland. Hopefully it's going to be precipitating... euros over there, not dollar bills, euros.
You figure when you're making money on things like NASCAR and tennis and DFS that when you actually study and put the work into football that it'll pay higher dividends, right?
Absolutely.
That's what you hope for.
Yes. We'll do our beer reviews to finish off.
I like it. The tiny cock?
That's what she said. yes, the Tiny Chicken American Pale Ale. I love how they have a series. It's the small board series. They have more than just the tiny cock.
Also,
okay.
Pigeon is another one.
Pigeon. From Trillium Brewing here in Massachusetts. I like this because it's hoppy. You know me. I'm into my hoppy beers. I'm going to give it 8.2. And I like that he's laying a little egg as well. Or she's laying a little egg.
It's a good beer. Yeah, absolutely. The beer that I'm drinking right now is special to me also because... I know I mentioned earlier in the show that Trillium is right next to my work. Well, the beer I'm drinking right now is made by Notch Brewing. It's the Zwickel, which is a German-style beer. And it's literally 2 minutes walking from my home, so I spend a lot of time over there. Especially when the missus is upset with me, I'll just go over there and pound a couple and then go
home. So that's where you're there every day, yeah?
Yeah, and that's why you can't reach me between 7 and 10 every day. But yeah, it's a Zwickel lager. It's a very, very good beer. It's got a very nice... blonde look to it, not as pale as or not as hazy as the Trillium we saw earlier in the show, but great beer nonetheless, and just a great go-to beer. You can really drink it any time of the day. So Notch Brewery, Trillium Brewery, the two breweries of the day.
What rating did you give it?
I'm gonna give this one an 8.6.
Okay.
Everyday beer that you can drink
on any occasion. 8.4 average between the two.
Yeah,
not bad. That's quite high on the leaderboard.
With Bud Light being like 4.9.
Michelob. Actually, it's for me. Michelob is my go-to.
Just to use as a barometer here.
Right, we'll leave it at that for episode 42. Fantastic daily fantasy analysis from Alex. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You can, like I said earlier on, you can find Daily Play Action on Facebook and Twitter. You can find Paddy Pigskin on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find the podcast everywhere, as you probably know. You've probably been listening for a while, and we appreciate the support. Yeah, tune in next time, where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care. Full clip. You wanna mess with that? Hangstar, one of the best yet. I'm nice like that. So I suggest you take a rest. So if you stand in my way, I'ma have to spray. Learn that if you come against me, son, you're gonna have to pray. Since back in the day I held the weight and kept my head up. They wanna see the guard catch an L, it's all a setup. I give no man a thing power over me. Why these niggas so jealous and looking sour over me? I'm bolder, G. I'm like impossible to stop. I'm like that nigga in the ring with you, impossible to drop. I'm like two magazines fully loaded to your one. Plus I ain't gonna quit spitting till you're done. Plus, more than ever, I got my whole shit together. More than a decade of hits that'll live forever. Catch a rep off my name, you're bound to fry. Know how many niggas that I know that's down to die. We never fail, and we ain't never been frail. You niggas talk crime, but you scared of jail. Full clip, you wanna mess with this? Hangstar, one of the best yet. I'm nice like that. It's all good, in this business around. Full clip, you wanna mess with this? Hangstar, one of the best yet. Nice like that. So I suggest you take a rest. Attacking like a slick Apache. Lyrics are trigger happy. Blowing back your wig piece just for the way you're looking at me. Cock back blow, I hit you up right now. I don't know why so many of y'all wanna be thugs anyhow. Face the consequence of your childish nonsense. I can make your head explode just by my lyrical content. Get you in my scope and metaphorically snipe ya. I never liked ya. I gas that ass and then ignite ya. The flamethrower, make your peeps afraid to know ya. How many times I told ya, play your position small soldier. My heart is colder, makes me wanna resort to violence. Stop beating me in the head, son. Nah, I'm not buying it. I'm ready to blast, ready to surpass and harass. I'm ready to flip, yeah, and ready to dip with all the cash. I hold my chrome steady with a tight grip. So watch your dome already, cause this one might hit. Full clip, you wanna mess with this? Gangstar, one of the best yet. I'm nice like that. It's all good, in this business I rap. Full clip, you wanna mess with this? The gangstar, the best yet. I'm nice like that. So good. So I suggest you take a rest.